When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden.
For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the foundation's homeless veteran program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. Because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude.
People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody. Monday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show starts now. I am back from a little vacation. En vacances, I believe they would say in France. Carrie kept telling everybody that I speak French, that I had to keep telling them, no, I speak about 200 words of French, but I do it with enthusiasm, Clay. Big fan of the place I went to for the weekend, but we'll talk more about that later because there's a lot of news to dive into today. We're going to get to all of that, and we could start by just mentioning Donald Trump's trial in New York. I see some don't like it to be called a hush money trial, which I suppose I can understand. The bookkeeping error 34 count felony trial in New York City, a farce for anybody who believes in an actual justice system or prosecution. It's outrageous. And that's going on. Elon Musk has come out and joined. Did you see this, Clay? He's opposed to the banning of TikTok, which I was very pleased to see. So it's now Buck, Rand Paul, Elon Musk, and a lot of 20-year-olds who make videos of I don't know, like
dance talk. It's a lot of dancing girls, you, Elon, and a few other handful. I actually polled this on my audience and it was almost dead even, 50-50. My position's a little bit in between. I think they should make China divest to an American-owned company. I don't want it to be banned, but I also don't think if China's not going to allow our tech companies to have full access to its country, which it does not, then I don't think we should allow Chinese tech companies to have full access to our markets. So that's my kind of middle of the road position on it.
So we've got the two big things taking up a lot of the headlines today, which we're going to spend some real time on. Oh, just as a programming note, we have Kash Patel, formerly of the Trump Department of Defense and a likely Trump national security appointee down the line for the next administration, which we certainly hope is going to happen. And also our friend Carol Markowitz will be joining because this madness on campus, you know, why don't we start a bit with this today? Because I was seeing this all over the place. I actually stayed off Twitter or X, whatever, and the news over the weekend. I was trying to focus on drinks flavored with coconut and the beach. But there was stuff going on, clearly. These protests going on at Columbia University. You know, Clay, my dad was a student at Columbia University in, I think it was 68, when they had a crazy protest going on there.
Yeah.
And they had to bring in riot police. They had effectively, over the Vietnam War, seized buildings, right? Students had seized buildings. They sent in the cops, and people got, you know, students got hit with truncheons and billy clubs, and it was serious stuff. My dad was a student there when it happened. He told me about it a few times. Now we've got all these anti-Israel protests going on. And one thing that I think is interesting is it has now become clear, I believe, Clay, that the left cannot control this movement, this entity, meaning even in an election year, if they think that it hurts their electoral prospects, they're not able to say, hey, you anti-Semites, shut up. You're causing problems for us. Wait to be anti-Semitic until after we convince enough people to vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think my big takeaway here, and it's been growing since October 7th, is the left has a major anti-Semitism problem. And what I would point to is Joe Biden claimed that the reason he ran for president in 2020 was because of what he saw happen at Charlottesville. Charlottesville is a pinprick of what happened from an anti-Semitic perspective with what we're seeing happen right now at many elite universities all over the country, whether it's Columbia, whether it's Yale, whether certainly we've seen all sorts of issues at Harvard and MIT. They now are taking over campus. I think at NYU as well. They're taking over the campus with protesters who are effectively pitching legitimate tents and doing sit-ins and sleep-ins on the center quads to say, we demand that you divest all of your investments that are associated with Israel in any way. And I think it's clear also that the left has no idea, meaning the left in power, the Democrat Party and Joe Biden, they have no real idea how to handle this. Because they're used to demonizing the right as being filled with anti-Semites. They've tried to tell us for 8 years that Trump is Hitler. And it turns out that all of their acolytes, their young, brightest students, are actually the ones who are far more likely to be anti-Semitic. And this is very scary, I think, in many ways, because especially if you're Jewish, this harkens back to what you legitimately saw in the 1930s throughout much of Europe.
So there's a clear echo here of the Occupy Wall Street protests, right? If you recall, Occupy, this is actually the very beginning.
You covered the Occupy Wall Street protests back in the
day. Yeah, that was, I remember I was working for Glenn Beck at the Blaze at the time. Glenn started my career. Thank you, Glenn. And I said, there's some weird protest, you know, this was because of Twitter at the time. There was some weird protest going on downtown, and it was about Wall Street bailouts, kind of. And I went there, and it started out pretty small scale and then very rapidly turned into this encampment. Now, people have said the little clever phrase that's bandied about is that it was more of a meme than a movement. It was really just about creating this short term conversation piece and not really anything longer term. But the notion of occupying public space, but that's what they did in Columbia in 68, as well as other schools,
yeah.
Right? The students took over physical buildings and said, come and get us. We're in charge now. So there's an echo here of the Occupy Wall Street movement or even the 1968 student radicalism that has occurred because they're calling it a Gaza solidarity encampment. I mean, they might as well just call it Occupy Gaza. That would be a different connotation. But, you know, it's an Occupy movement in essence. And they're planning, Clay, to do this at campuses all across the country. I did see, what was it? One of the schools, was it MIT? Said, they expelled a bunch of kids who were doing this nonsense. And they basically dropped the hammer and said, enough is enough.
Yeah, it's starting. And you've asked this question before about how sort of my red pilling moment started. It actually started to a large degree, Buck, and some of you out there listening, particularly if you're in the Missouri area, will remember this, when a group of BLM protesters took over the Missouri Quad in Columbia, Missouri, at the University of Missouri, protesting what they said were alleged racist incidents on campus. And it spread to the point where athletes were saying, oh, we're not going to play. There were hunger strikes. I mean, it was a total sham. But it took over the University of Missouri and honestly had a multi-year devastating impact for the number of students that were applying to Missouri. The overall applications collapsed. Kids started going to school out of state. I think Missouri has since kind of come back to some extent. And the University of Missouri is a beautiful place. I mean, if you've been to Columbia, it's a fantastic school. Has a great journalism school to the extent that we still believe that journalism is something that is,
I mean,
worth celebrating.
Journalism is the
all.
Biggest waste of time of any so-called academic pursuit. You want to be a journalist, learn how to read, write, and pursue the truth.
I founded a media company. I don't think I've ever had a journalism degree. I mean, or a class. I mean, you could easily learn it, but I just saw this. I don't know how this is going to get solved. A part of me thinks, Buck, that the best thing that these universities have going for them is it's April. So you're going to have commencements. It'll probably be a mess. And then a lot of kids go away for campus and they go back home for the summer. And all the kids that are protesting in favor of Palestine are going to go back to their rich suburban households, and walk into their multi-million dollar homes. And mom and dad are going to be like, what in the world were you doing? And I imagine there's a lot of parents and grandparents out there wondering what's going on. But one of the things that I do think is going to have a legacy, I saw this right before we started. The owner of the New England Patriots, multi-billionaire Robert Kraft, just put out a statement saying that he is going to refuse to donate any money to Columbia until he feels like Jewish students are safe on campus. And that, to me, is what everybody who's a donor should be doing. I give credit to him. You shouldn't be donating money to these universities given what they're propagating right now.
There are students who are leaving Columbia, at least temporarily, because they say they feel unsafe. I think those are rabbis.
They shut down schools today, right? They didn't have class today for many people on Columbia's campus.
For safety issues. I mean, think about this. They've spent all these years trying to restrict conservative speech, which is always in favor of lawfulness, but also freedom of speech. They've tried to shut that down under the rubric of it makes people feel unsafe. And the people, this is the great irony of all this, the people, Clay, that they were pandering to with that by pretending that it was a safety issue when it was really an emotional instability issue of they can't hear other ideas. Those emotionally unstable children on these college campuses are now the ones that are making people actually feel unsafe because they are threatening them and saying things that are reminiscent of some of the darkest things that we have heard in the 20th century, to your earlier point. So, yeah, the universities, look, so much of this, too, and I saw somebody who I can't remember who it was, share this on it. You know, it's just benefiting state schools, honestly, community colleges, trade schools. It's really just an elite status game now, going to all those places, going to Columbia University. It does not make you a smarter or better person than people who don't go to these fancy schools, not by a long shot. In fact, this has been true for a long time, but now everyone's seeing the truth. These are indoctrination factories for loons.
Yes.
People are coming out of there less wise. I mean, saying dumber may not be quite the phrase, but less capable of exerting judgment and wisdom than when they went in at 18 years old.
Yeah, and I don't know, and this is a big conversation out there. I don't know how this gets rectified without the entire, and this is going to sound massive, but I think it's true, without the entire Democrat Party collapsing. And when I say that, some of you are going to kind of roll your eyes. You're going to say that sounds excessive. Really, if you're Jewish, if you are Jewish at this point in time, what I think you have had to learn since October 7th, the central lesson is the world, in particular the leftist world, sees you as white. That explains everything. You would never have a situation on Columbia's campus. We said this early on, and I think a lot of people have come to realize it. Can you imagine if there were black kids walking through campus getting taunted because they were black? Joe Biden would send in the National Guard immediately. It would be the lead story on every news station for the next 8 months, all the way through the election.
There's also, and we'll talk to Carol about this, who I think has a column. Carol's obvious, is Jewish, New York Post columnist, writes her Substack. She's writing about this issue. There are others who are taking on this issue as well. Conservative Jews are, in America are basically saying, we told you so.
Yes.
Right? This is what they've seen this coming for a long time. But the left of center Jews have thought, oh, we can promote DEI. We can promote effectively structured race politics, like structural racism, effectively, with affirmative action and DEI hiring and all these different things. And it won't blow back on us because we are oppressed as well. The leftist Jews didn't understand was, as far as the black and brown left-wing communities in this country and others who sign on to DEI are concerned, Jews are white, Israel is white, this is a race and colonialism conflict, and so they are targets just the same as anybody else who would be considered white by the left. That is the wake-up call. That is the thing that has changed, I think, some minds among the American Jewish community, although I still think you're going to see very small changes in the vote. Because people, Clay, it's like masks and COVID, and people don't want to admit they were wrong. It's amazing the stubbornness that people exhibit.
I think you're going to see Jewish voters change quite a bit. Now, it might only be 5%, but that would be pretty seismic in terms of the impact. And I think the structural lines down the road are such that Jews, who are the most oppressed people probably in the history of the world, I mean, can you think of a group that over thousands of years has been more consistently oppressed?
Well, of course. But I just to, so we get this one clear, I'm gonna mark this one down too. You can't say a big change and then 5%, Clay, 5%.
Well, 5% between the election. I'll say double digit change.
All right. I'm gonna take the between Republicans and Democrats in the vote this fall. Clay thinks there'll be a double digit change. So, I don't know. We'll have to figure out some kind of other,
there's going to be a bunch of different polls. We need like an arbiter. I hate to say it. We need a ministry of truth to analyze the final results of this, for purposes of 2024 elections.
We're going to get into it. 800-282-2882. Light them up. Great to be back with all of you, by the way. I had a great time with Carrie, but did miss all of you across the country. You know, funding for abortion clinics comes in a whole variety of ways, including hundreds of millions of dollars that, believe it or not, come from our federal government. And even some music artists are contributing a share of their ticket sales. Compare that to where Preborn gets its funding. Preborn's a nonprofit that offers an alternative to abortions. They provide free ultrasounds, counseling, maternity clothes, diapers, and other items to help women in the care of their babies. But it's that ultrasound experience that is so often the difference maker. When a mother hears that precious tiny baby's heartbeat, sees the little movements going on inside her womb, so often the choice is made in that moment for life. One ultrasound is just $28 for Preborn, but any amount you can donate will help, and all gifts of whatever size are tax deductible. To donate securely, dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby. Or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK. Sponsored by Preborn.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Go to puretalk.com/buck to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/buck.
As the Trump trial is underway, we certainly are going to dive into the details on that as the opening arguments from both the prosecution and the defense are taking place today. Buck, I spent a lot of time on Thursday and Friday breaking down the 12-person jury. There was a great deal of drama associated with all those individuals getting seated. But I want to play you some of the audio, if you haven't heard it, of what Columbia sounded like over the weekend. This is cut three. You can hear him screaming there, "You have no culture, all you do is colonize." And if you were having trouble hearing that, that is what was being screamed at Jewish students as they were trying to walk onto Columbia's campus in New York City. No classes today. Unprecedented levels of anti-Semitism unspooling on the left over the last 6 months, and it doesn't seem like there is an easy solution. Basically, if you thought Charlottesville was bad, we've had hundreds, if not thousands, of Charlottesville since, all directed by people on the left.
Yeah, Clay, I think that the universities don't know how to react to any of this. That's the other part of it, because they're caught between their base and what's going on. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. He sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. Major Turnbull lost his eyesight in one eye and required 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now, and his home gives him hope. With help from people like you, Tunnel to Towers supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's severely injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Please donate today. T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. We're watching all things here for the Trump trial going on. Unfortunately, there's no video of the trial to be had, right? They don't allow cameras inside the courtroom, but the Trump's...
You think that would be beneficial or... Does the trial not being on tape help or hurt Trump, help or hurt Democrats? I was thinking about that this morning as we got ready.
I meant unfortunate from our perspective, just because for pure information, entertainment, and show purposes, yeah, to have ongoing video and know exactly what's going on, I think would be kind of riveting. I don't really believe it would make that much difference to the outcome. I think it's so interesting. I know people on the right who believe that it is all set in stone already that Trump's going to be convicted. And I know people that say absolutely not. There'll be someone on that jury that refuses. So that to me means no one really knows, which is a good place to be when you're looking at predictions, or a good understanding to have. But we'll continue. But here is Trump, who was saying that he was speaking before his Monday trial, and he was just saying, all these Biden trials, obviously calling Biden out for being involved in some way in the federal trials because it's happening on his watch and it's his attorney general. And then also the allegations are out there that there's been collusion between the New York City or the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and also Letitia James and also Fannie Willis going to the White House at different times, right? So, Biden trials, witch hunt. This is what he's saying. Play clip one.
I just want to say before we begin, these are all Biden trials. This is done as election interference. Everybody knows it. I'm here instead of being able to be in Pennsylvania and Georgia and lots of other places campaigning. And it's very unfair. Fortunately, the poll numbers are very good. They've been going up because people understand what's going on. This is a witch hunt, and it's a shame. And it comes out of Washington. It's in coordination with Washington, everything, including the DA's office. It's in coordination with Washington. I just want people to understand that this is done for purposes of hurting the opponent of the worst president in the history of our country.
I think that's absolutely not only true, Clay, but obvious. Because if it was about justice and the justice system, they wouldn't have held all of these until the election year. This is the most blatant political interference, I don't know. I mean, certainly in our lifetime in a presidential election. What would be bigger interference than this in a presidential election?
I can't think of anything even close. And I do wonder what the impact, regardless of this result, I would say, as the trial begins today, presuming that it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks, although it's moved, to be fair, you expected it to move rapidly. It's moved far more rapidly than I thought. I didn't think they'd be able to seat the jury in a week. I didn't think they would be able to get the opening arguments done. Remember, on Thursday, in probably what is a far more consequential case, the Supreme Court is going to consider the scope of presidential immunity. And that has a big deal when it comes to what exactly is going to happen with Jack Smith, because they still have to decide whether the four counts that he's brought, half of them are potentially being thrown out in that ruling, dealing with whether obstructing an official event can be or can't be applied. I lay all of this. You and I follow this in a minute detail. What is the average voter able to even comprehend about all of these cases? E. Jean Carroll, Letitia James, this one that's going on right now with Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith in D.C., Jack Smith in South Florida, Fannie Willis in Atlanta. You and I, because we follow all of this on a very detailed fashion, are able to talk about all of these cases in a unique way. Many of you out there listening are doing the same. I think 15 or 20% of America even is able to distinguish between all these cases. I think there's just kind of a big blob in the mind of many voters out there with all of these legal shenanigans.
Well, this is why it's clearly a flood the zone strategy. And then I think you have to get to, why would they want to flood the zone? Or rather, clearly, it just is meant to put pressure on Trump, take time, take resources. It's meant to hurt him reputationally, all of the obvious things that we all know. But additionally, are they just banking on you get a felony conviction of Trump, to your point about how many people are really paying attention, and then it just turns into the entire Democrat media apparatus hitting convicted felon, convicted felon, convicted felon, Donald Trump every day from now to the election. And that alone is enough in their minds to be the difference maker. I think the answer right now is yes. I mean, Andy, we had Andy McCarthy on last week, right? He's like, they're not going to put him in prison. Now, I think he's a little more certain of that than he should be in terms of the house arrest thing. I don't think they'd put him in Rikers, but I think they
may try to put him in Rikers. I'm not even kidding about that.
You're going to a whole other.
They're going to sentence him. And I think whether they try to put him in prison or not, I mean, this will be a function of whether they think they're going to be able to get a second trial. My thought is if they don't get a second trial complete, they're going to wildly overreact to this one in an effort to try to make it as big of a deal as they possibly can.
I also think that, and this I will say, I believe I have been rather prescient on this so far this year, because I went through the timeline and I did it with a friend of mine who had worked on the federal judiciary side for many, many years. And he kept hammering home to me. He's like, look at how fast they are moving in D.C., right? They are moving at a speed that is, I call it ludicrous speed, like from Spaceballs. They never do this. In New York, when Andy was talking about sentencing and all of that, he's talking about normal order, right? And I think even when you're looking, Clay, you're looking at the jury selection. If someone's, you know, oh, it's a guy who's accused of, Medicare fraud. Oh, he's facing 15 years. Oh, you know. All right, you know, he's not a danger to the public. We'll do this for 30 days. That'll take 3 months. This will take everything here is about the timing. And the people that are manipulating the system know that. So that's where you have to ask, I think, to understand how quickly they will, to your point about the sentencing or what they're going to do. Yeah, a normal sentencing procedure would mean that that's never going to come up before the election. This is not a normal procedure. There is nothing normal about this stuff. And that's why I think we have to observe the Trump legal challenges through the lens of the abnormality that we've already seen. I think they've established this.
What do you think the chance? There is no chance in my mind of an acquittal. That is a not guilty verdict. Zero. I would put them legitimately as zero. I don't believe that they've managed to get 12 open-minded jurors who would be willing to say Donald Trump is not guilty in a jurisdiction where 87% of the vote went against him. So I think 0%. Would you agree? Do you think there's any chance of an acquittal or not guilty verdict?
No, I think there's 0%.
Zero.
On that. Yeah.
Okay. So building on that, what do you think the chances are? And you can hold this and we can debate it some when we come back in the next segment if you want. But what do you think the chances are that there is at least one juror that will vote not guilty or is even willing at this point in time? Because everybody says, oh, the jury doesn't ever make their mind up. Yeah, I get it. I understand all that. Everybody knows, unless there's some bombshell revelation, we've all known for years all of the details of this case. There's nothing earth-shattering, I don't think.
I have a strong opinion on this question that I feel very confident I will be right, but we're going to have to get to it in a moment.
That's what you call a hell of a tease. I didn't even realize this. I should have been on top of it. Mother's Day's 3 weekends away. 3 weekends until Mother's Day. A lot of you out there probably hadn't thought about it. May sneak up on you. That's why you need to be thinking about what your gift is going to be. And a perfect Mother's Day gift is Legacy Box. Great idea. Old school memories that have been saved on videotapes, film reels, photographs. Get them digitized right now for mom. Legacy Box makes it simple. You send them all the old media in a special box they send to you. In a few weeks, just in time for Mother's Day, you get everything back along with digital files. Mom can watch, share, and even post them. Best part, having the ability to easily preserve those memories and files that will last forever. Unlike a video cassette or even a photo album, 1.5 million families have relied on Legacy Box to digitally preserve their memories. Now you can too. Great Mother's Day gift. Go to legacybox.com/clay for the best Mother's Day sale out there. 60% off regular prices. Legacybox.com/clay. 60% off Mother's Day. Do it today.
Wow.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Okay, I asked the question. I'll give you my answer here in a sec. I'm curious for yours, Buck. What do you, we both agree, 0% chance of acquittal or not guilty. By the way, they've broken, evidently, the day of court is over. Trump is speaking. We'll have some audio from him in the next hour for you at the end of this first day. Evidently, they have finished already. Buck, what chances do you put of the 12 jurors or the 6 alternates who might end up seating? What do you think the chances are that one of them would be open to a not guilty verdict and or a hung jury as a result? Because they're not going to get 12 to agree on a not guilty.
I think you'd have to give somebody, if you were placing bets on this, I think the odds are at least 2 to 1 in favor of a guilty verdict, whatever that means. So
1 to 2.
Okay,
yes, thank the opposite you. Of what you said. Yes,
right. So it would happen. it is twice as likely in my mind that there will be a guilty verdict. And here's why: it doesn't matter how stupid the case is. It doesn't matter how absurd all this is. And it's not even just about the jurors who hate Trump, but I think that's baked into this, right? There are going to be jurors who are, you know, whatever they've said, oh, I don't even pay attention. Sure. Bull crap. Play. I think that the 1 or 2 people on that jury who might be willing to say this is unjust, this is wrong, are also going to have to think, do I want to have my life ruined in favor of preventing Donald Trump from being held, guilty or found guilty on this issue. I think the intimidation factor as a Manhattan resident is too high for anyone on that jury to have the backbone. I hope I am wrong, but I do think that is really the deciding factor.
The social pariah factor is what you're basically pointing to.
More than social, I think people's livelihoods are at risk. I think they think their safety and their family's safety would be at risk. People are psychopathic in their hatred for Donald Trump in these blue. I know. I lived in New York until last year. They are out of their minds with how much they hate him. And there is a whole element that thinks anything to stop Trump and to stop anyone who is pro-Trump is justified.
I think the only juror who'd be willing to do it would need, I have a couple of thoughts on it. One, they're a diehard Trump person and they just don't care about what other social costs there might be. Two, a part of me thinks a retiree or someone who is already outside of the usual stream of commerce. And in other words, you don't have a job that you're worried about, your family, you're already retired. Three, and this one maybe is intriguing, you're just ready to leave New York. And your recognition is that if you were the juror who said not guilty for Trump and then went public, that while you might be a social pariah in New York City, there are several red states where you would go and people would treat you very well. So those are kind of the way that I would say someone might be willing. The other one I would say, and this is, I've been disappointed in a lot of these people. You have so much money. I don't know what the wealth status is. It's unlikely, but there are a lot of wealthy people in Manhattan that you are in some way insulated from political pressure. For instance, I've said this for a long time. If you've got $20 million.
Yeah.
Nobody can really do
rich people in New York want
to
be liked, but let me tell you, I know a lot of rich people in New York, buddy.
That's
rich people in New York.
That's pathetic to me, by the way. Well, but yes.
I know, but I'm telling you, your mindset, and they want to be liked by the other rich people. They want to go to the fancy restaurants and get the good table and have people come over and like them. The one thing that rich people in New York City, generally, I'm speaking in general here, overwhelmingly want is the approval of their peer group, and they're not going to risk that. You could, I'm not saying you're not right. You could be right, yeah. But the odds of even, first of all, someone having that much money, but second of all, having that much money and not caring because look at Dershowitz.
Dershowitz is
like, Dershowitz says, I vote Biden. I think Trump is a bad president, but I don't like the constitutional order being upended to destroy him. And he's told us on the show, not invited to any of the Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, not invited to any of the Martha's Vineyard parties anymore. Now, if you have a Dershowitz on the jury, okay. Not a lot of Dershowitzes running around these days. You know, it's in a lot of ways. Let's take Jeff in Nebraska. What's going on, Jeff?
Buck. Imagine Clay, a juror finding Trump not guilty. He'd get the Steve Bartman treatment from those rest of the New Yorkers. You remember Bartman was the Chicago
Cubs fan who knocked the ball out of bounds. But so here's my thing. Am I really so rare out there that I don't know if I'm well-liked in my community? I really don't. I mean, I might be totally hated. There might be people turning their backs on me all the time. I mean,
Clay, you went on CNN when CNN thought of itself as the most serious news organization on the planet. They really did. And said that you love the First Amendment and boobs, and you would do it again.
Yes.
So you are a unique bird. This is true. You are a unique snowflake.
I either don't care or presume that everybody likes me, and it doesn't really impact my life.
Jeff,
in every room I walk
into. You think the hatred that this person would face on the jury if they went, if they refused to convict would just be too much? Oh, did we lose Jeff? Sorry.
Show your face.
Yeah. I think I hear what Jeff's saying there. All right, let's take Valerie and Raleigh. Valerie, what's going on?
Hey, Clay and Buck. It's amazing to be able to talk to you two after all this time.
Well, thank you.
I spend most of my days, really, you're awesome. I spend most of my days being pissed off, and the other half of my day I'm stressed. So, about all this stuff. I was actually going to talk about the protests at Columbia. But I see you're talking about Trump now. But anyway, I got a way to shut it down. I think. You bring out the National Guard. You give them, get a megaphone, 30 minutes to bring down all, take down all these tents. And you have one of them great big renovation dumpsters sitting out there. And in 30 minutes, if they don't start taking them down, you just start dumping them in the dumpster.
Well, you know, Yale, thank you for calling, Valerie. Yale has already basically, with police, done what you're telling them to do. And I just wonder, Clay, yeah, what are they going to do if the students say, we'll take the or else? Move or else, we'll take the or else.
I also, I want to talk about this some when we come back, because I think about it now in the context of being a parent. Can you imagine paying $100,000 a year for your kid to go to Columbia or Yale and finding out that they're living on the quad in a tent protesting Israel? I would lose my mind. I bet a lot of you would, too.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.